This is Happiness Solved with America's Happiness Coach, Sandy Scarlatta.
Hello, everyone. Happy New Year. I am so happy you're listening today. Happiness Solved is dedicated to giving you content that is empowering, motivational, inspirational, and of course, a dose of happiness. It's my way to give back to the world and share other people's stories. This thing called life can be challenging, and my guests share their amazing stories, wisdom, and life lessons that demonstrate anyone can choose happiness. You see, happiness is a journey, not a destination. I'm Sandy Scarlatta, and I have been inspiring others to shift their mindset and choose happiness for over 20 years. As we head into a new year, here's some food for thought. How many times have you gotten excited to make your New Year's resolutions only to abandon them? It's okay, you're not alone. Statistics show that roughly 50% of the population sets New Year's resolutions, and yet the majority of those give up within the first 30 to 45 days. In fact, 80% of people who make New Year's resolutions will abandon them during the month of February. I want more than anything for you to succeed in 2023 and have five tips to share with you. One, create a detailed plan on how you're going to ensure that you follow through and take action. Two, get an accountability partner. Three, attach your emotions to the goals. And what I mean by that is, how will achieving them make you feel? Four, set up an app to track your goals, or set up an alarm on your phone to remind you to take action. And lastly, five, celebrate your wins. This is so important because when you celebrate it and give yourself a pat on the back, what you're doing is you're reinforcing that positive behavior and you're more likely to continue doing it. So thank you so much for listening today. And don't forget to leave a review and follow me on social media at Coach Sandy Scarlatta. Today's episode is amazing and I am so grateful for you. Enjoy the show. Hey, Katarina, it's such a pleasure to have you on today. How's it going?
Great. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, well, that's great since it's Happiness Solved.
There you go.
There you go, right? All right. So Katarina, for the audience, Katarina is the founder and CEO of Engine, which is a global nonprofit that has paired over 50,000 English learners and volunteers for online conversation, practice, and culture exchange. So that is so cool. And we're going to dive into all of that, but I love some of your other background where you began your career as an investment banker. You hold a master's of education from Harvard, nothing to sneeze at, and a bachelor's degree in international studies and business from University of Pennsylvania. I mean, so yeah, like really amazing education. That's incredible. And I love that you're also a mom of two young girls. So that's really awesome. And you enjoy writing. So we have lots to dive into. But before we start talking about the nonprofit, because there's so much good that you're doing that I want to dive into, how did you go from an investment banker to starting a nonprofit?
That's a great question. I think it was the pursuit of happiness. You know, so in theme with your podcast. Oh, I've always wanted to run a nonprofit. I was a sort of a weird kid that even when I was little, I was like, I'm from Ukraine. So I was like, I want to help Ukrainian kids. And it's not something that you really learn in school or college, like how to end up running a nonprofit. And coming from an immigrant family, right, you grow up very practical. How am I going to make money to make sure I can support myself and help my family? And that's how I actually ended up in investment banking, because it seemed like the right path, a path that would give me financial security. And from an immigrant mindset, like that's what happiness is, right? Like you can't be happy if you're struggling for funds. But it was very frustrating doing something that, you know, I didn't have my heart in it at all. And frankly, working with people who were very passionate about finance, you know, people who would work 80 hours a week and then go out on Saturday night for drinks and keep talking about, you know, latest M&A deals and debt issuances and IPOs and whatnot. I realized, and this is not a place where I'm ever going to be successful, because there are actually people who are happy to be here, who are passionate about this, and you can't compete with that. So I needed to go and find my own path, which would be really hard, but what would ultimately helped me end up where I wanted to be career-wise. And that's why I went back to get my master's in education and sort of jumped around a lot trying to find the right fit.
Yeah. Well, good for you for following your heart and recognizing that that wasn't the space that you wanted to be in, because it's hard, right? Especially just out of college. I think a lot of times folks, you know, young adults that are just getting out of college, they don't really know what they want. And so, you know, with what you just said, you're following the money. Okay, well, how can I make the money, right? Because that's what you think you need to do. But then you soon recognize that money can't buy happiness, right? And if you're not in a career that's not fulfilling, that's just, you know, life is just too short. So that's really awesome. And that's such a great example for other people. And I'm glad that we're bringing that message up in the beginning here, because I think that right now we're in a place, as you know, in the world where there's a lot of division. There's a lot of really horrible stuff happening right now. And I think it helps, it gives people a moment to pause and say, if I'm not doing this, what's next? What can I do to be fulfilled and provide for my family or provide for myself? Because there are other options. And so that's really great. I think that's really awesome that you did that. Great for you.
Thank you. It was quite scary at the time, honestly, until I launched Engine, which was just 5 years ago. And I was just remembering, this is like the longest I've ever been at the same job. So before Engine, I really was struggling a lot to figure out where I could find that job that checked all the boxes. Like you said, you know, you want to be growing and being challenged, and you want to be doing impactful work, but you also do need to be earning money to support your family, right? So I found that really difficult to discover. And even going to Harvard, I thought, you know, well, definitely that would put me on the right track, because it's Harvard. And I learned so many interesting things in my master's classes, but career-wise, it did not really provide any sort of path or support in figuring that path out. So it was a lot of trial and error. And looking back, I can say, well, you know, like, this is great, you know, and I love where I am, and I'm glad that I followed this path. But when you're actually there, it feels really bad, because you see all your friends and they have stable jobs, and maybe they don't love them, but they've sort of made peace with that. And people look at you kind of weird, like, what are you doing with your life? And you know, you hit 30 and you haven't got it figured out. So it was really difficult, but looking back on it, it's definitely worth all the stumbling around to find where I was supposed to be.
Oh, for sure. Was there any, did you seek out any advice? Did you get any advice that you can share that maybe helped you come to this conclusion that you want to do this nonprofit to help? Because I know a lot of what you're doing is with Ukraine, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But was there any advice that you received that really helped you, like, yeah, that's what I've got to do?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if this is an area where advice can be really helpful, or at least in my experience, you know, where I've really benefited from advice is how to do something specific, right? But what to do, that's something that I think you learn by trial and error. And so I think joining, you know, for example, I worked for some time for a language learning startup. It was a for-profit startup, and I learned how to build an organization from scratch, and I realized I really like it. And then since I knew I was passionate about helping Ukrainian youth, I was on the leadership team of a nonprofit, a volunteer-run nonprofit, a much smaller one, working with Ukrainian youth. And I learned a lot from that about how to do that, and I saw what I liked about that. And so I basically had a bunch of experiences, and I combined them to build Engine and to sort of design my perfect job. But it was less about conversations and more about trying and doing, whether paid or unpaid experiences. I kind of had a mix of both. I was doing freelancing, volunteering, part-time work. At some points it was full-time work. Some points I had two or three different jobs. And I really learned a lot from going through that. And then now that I have my role as a nonprofit leader, I do ask for advice a lot and get a lot of advice on how to do that well. But in terms of getting here, it was trial and error for sure.
Yeah, of course. And I think that's probably the case for most people. If you were going to give anybody advice when they're in that transitional point in their life, what advice, you know, from everything that you've learned, what advice would you give to somebody that's in the shoes you were in 5, 6, 7 years ago?
I think I really try to learn something from every professional experience I had, no matter how big or small, no matter how frustrating it was. I wanted to make sure I come out of every experience knowing, well, what do I really like doing? Department areas or what kinds of tasks really appeal to me? And be very intentional about getting that learning and not seeing it as a waste of time. And that's what ultimately step by step led me to where I was, because I got very clear from repeated experience on what I was good at, what I enjoyed doing, on the flip side, what my weaknesses were and what I didn't like doing. And that helped me put together Engine and, you know, and my job and the whole organization. So I would almost say, you know, learning, seeing as your main task is to learn about yourself and what you want. I think often we say, okay, I hate this job. And I've certainly had jobs like that where, looking back, in a very, very toxic workplace is a lot of issues. But even with those, I say, okay, well, what specifically can I take out of this? What projects did I really enjoy? And if I hated something, like, what was it about it? Was it the type of work? Was it the team structure, the organization, culture, the management? And I think often we just go to, you know, I loved it or I hate it or it was okay. And we're not intentional about learning those lessons about ourselves and our preferences. So I think that would be my advice, is have a lot of experiences and then make sure you're learning from them about who you are and what you want.
Mm, beautiful advice. I love that. Especially when it comes to, like, the things that you don't like. Well, what was it about? I mean, that's what you were saying. Like, okay, I know, yes, I hate this. Well, what is it about it that I don't like? And if you got to break it down to really analyze it and then say, okay. And then, I think that's, we were talking about this recently, just like in relationships, right? Because my husband and I both were in a 20-year marriage, and it wasn't so much about what we wanted. It was about what we don't want.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I love, like, and I love, that's the same in a job. Yeah. Like, what don't I want?
Yeah. It's, right? It's so true. And I think I've talked about this before, where a lot of what I'm learning about my professional life actually really applies to my personal life. And it's something that I'm very, very passionate about, is building stronger relationships. So with your life partner, with friends, with family members, it's actually a lot of the same principles that will help you at work are going to help you in your relationships.
It always crosses over. And I think people try to compartmentalize, and they say work-life balance. Well, first of all, I think balance is BS. You know, for me, it's about finding harmony, right? I like the word harmony better. It's a musical. It's flowy. It's fluid. And recognizing that there is no separation between work and life. It's all integrated. And finding that harmony. And like you said, the things that you learn in life, you can apply to business. And the things you learn in business, you can apply to life.
Absolutely. Know,
it's not one or the other. Right?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
It's not black and white, right? There's lots of shades of gray. I had to learn that the hard way, because I had a friend for years. She's like, Sandy, you're so black and white. There's shades of gray. And it was like, and this is before the movie came out, you know, Shades of Gray. Before the movie came out, I was like, wonder what this is about, right? But yeah, I mean, I have to catch myself too, because so often we do look at things that it's black or white. And there's so much more. There's so much more to everything. All right. So awesome. All right. So tell me about Engine. I mean, I could read it, what you put in the bio, but I'd like to hear it from you. So tell us about, what is Engine? What are you doing? And just dive into a lot of like what you're doing, you know, like the main mission behind the organization.
Yeah. So Engine started with a very, very small idea. And really just one person, a Ukrainian teenager that I was mentoring some years ago. I was helping her with her college application process. And I had communicated with her in writing at first, and her written English was great. She'd studied English for a decade. And then we had our first Zoom call. And when she got on, she couldn't talk to me. It was a huge shock for me, honestly. It was almost like speaking with a different person. And that's how I learned about this challenge that many young people in Ukraine face, that they study English in school or in college, or they'll even, you know, have a Ukrainian tutor, but they don't really have an opportunity to speak. And so there's all this knowledge and potential, and it stays in their head and it's not used, and it blocks them from reaching the academic and professional opportunities that English fluency can bring. So
can I just interrupt you a second, Katerina? So are you talking about like conversational English, or just the actual English language? Because it's two different things, really. Like, you can speak English, but to have a conversation is a little bit different. So what is it that you're talking
conversation,
about?
Right? Yes.
Okay.
Right. So it's just the ability to use the language in real conversations, because studying and memorizing grammar and vocabulary, it's very different from actually knowing how to use the language in real life. So Engine started as a conversation practice program that was specifically focused on helping young Ukrainians learn to use English in real life to help open up opportunities for them. And it was going to help a few dozen people. Maybe thought, you know, I just had a baby. It was COVID, actually, and I was stuck at home. So I thought, let me do this little side project and help a few dozen people. And then it kind of exploded, and hundreds of people started signing up. And I realized that what I had built went beyond the language conversation practice. That is, you know, definitely that remains our foundation. It's a big part of what our participants get out of it. But I realized that by connecting people, I built something magical, something multidisciplinary, where there was a cultural exchange going on, where the English speakers who were practicing with the Ukrainians were sharing their cultures and learning a lot about their conversation partner's culture. I realized that we were developing really strong friendships and relationships between these people. And in many cases, people would refer to their conversation partners as one of their closest friends or like a family member even. People started visiting Ukraine to meet their conversation partners in person, which was never part of the actual program, right? The core program is just you meet once a week online and you talk, and that's it. And it's very, very simple. And I think because it's so simple, anyone could join in and sort of make what they want of the experience. The one-on-one format proved really powerful for personalization and for impact, for really creating the experience that each person needed. And so now I really think of it as a connection program, a program that connects people one-on-one and changes both of their lives. I think that that's really key, that we're not just doing something that's good for our participants in Ukraine, but our English-speaking volunteers also get so much out of it. And so it's really become a global movement. Like you mentioned in the beginning, it's been over 50,000 people. I think we recently hit 55,000 people. And it's really grown beyond my biggest dreams in the last 5 years. And I'm hoping to keep growing it, honestly. My bigger vision is to reach a million people so that we can see national transformation, right? So we can have a whole generation of Ukrainians who are English fluent, who are culturally connected, who are thinking from global perspectives. And I think that can catalyze the economic development of the entire nation and can also create a template for other countries, for other emerging democracies that may want to do something similar and invest in their people and invest in their growth through programs like this one.
Incredible. So you started this before, well, it started out as a conflict. I would say today it's a war. You started this before that, correct?
Yes. Yes. So it was before the full-scale invasion. You know, at that point, Russia's invasion was just this very small regional conflict, which did not affect most Ukrainians directly. And about 2 years in, Russia invaded all of Ukraine. And that was really a big turning point for us. It's very scary. Most of my team is in Ukraine. We were going back and forth about whether to close the program down, but most people did not want to. And they said, actually, you know, in the middle of a war, connecting with others, telling our stories, resisting Russia's attempts to sort of tear us down and make Ukraine not exist anymore. I mean, it actually becomes even more important to do Engine. And we started growing very, very quickly, actually, in 2022. partly because on the volunteer end, now more people knew about Ukraine and wanted to help. So we were really able to start working with people of all ages and really grow our volunteer base. So it was a little bit of a silver lining for us, I guess. But yes, it was not really meant initially as a response to the full-scale invasion, but I think that certainly made it more necessary. And as a response, we've really grown a lot in the last few years.
Wow, that's incredible. So yes, I agree with you that after the invasion, the full-scale invasion, this was needed even more so, much more so. How has, do you have any, stories that you'd like to share about people that have been drastically impacted in the last couple of years because of this program and what's going on over there?
Oh my gosh, it's
sure
it's hard.
Plenty.
I think one story I can share with you is about a volunteer from Texas named Robert, and he initially started meeting with one young woman. I think it was just over 3 years ago. So he signed up in response to Russia's invasion in early 2022. And he was initially paired with this one student, and she really blew him away through her dedication. She really wanted to make her life better. She really wanted to improve her English and use that to help with her career. And so she would show up every week. She would write down everything they talked about, all the vocabulary words. She was extremely diligent. She was doing all of this while she was temporarily displaced from her home due to the war, and then coming back to the Kharkiv area where she was living very close to the border. So really dealing with the impact of the war in a very direct way. But that didn't stop her. And she is getting so much better at English. She's using it at work, representing her employer. I think she works for the local government agency, and she's been traveling and using English to represent her job, and really inspired Robert so much that he went on to work with 7 other engine students, and then he went on this trip to Ukraine, hitting up all different cities and towns to meet all of these conversation partners that he was working with. And he actually became a volunteer interviewer on our team as well. So now for several hours a week, he interviews potential participants to the program, and also started volunteering with other Ukraine involved organizations, such as helping actually Ukrainian soldiers who were in Texas for training to learn to use some of the weapons that are being sent over there. And he was helping them with the conversational English as well, because you do need to speak yeah. English and be fluent to use and coordinate some of these weapons and some of this machinery is going over there. And so I think what I really love about Robert's story is that you can kind of see the growth and impact on both sides, right?
Right.
And it's this sort of mutuality that makes me really, really happy about what we've been able to build. Because so often, nonprofit work has this sort of toxic victims and savior dynamic, right? Where it's not even, where someone is saving someone else. But I don't think that's how real relationships work. And I think the way to have it, have work that's really sustainable and impactful and really fills both people's cups, that's the key. And we definitely see that in so many of our stories, where you have our students in Ukraine who are growing and accessing new opportunities because of their volunteers helping them unlock their fluency. And at the same time, the volunteers are having a really rewarding experience as well.
Oh my gosh, that's such a great story. And I love how you highlighted a story that benefits the volunteers as well. So for anybody out there who is interested in volunteering like this, can you just, because in my mind, let me just tell you what I'm guessing this is when you're having the conversation, that you're talking about something. So does the volunteer correct the student so that they're speaking correct English? Is that kind of what it is that you're helping them with? Because we've got so many words that mean the same thing, for example, the girl who does my nails, kudos to her. She came here from Vietnam at the age of 20, and her English is pretty good, but it's still very broken. right? Mm-hmm. And I never correct her, but I'm imagining like, oh, you know, she said this instead of that, right? And but you know, but we know what they mean, right?
Yeah.
So is that what you're talking about? So that they're more fluent and can, because the more fluent you are, the better your chances are of working for an American company or representing Ukraine mm-hmm. on the world stage, speaking fluent English.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, so correction is definitely a part of it. It's an hour of conversation a week. Anyone who speaks English can do it. I want to underline that because some people hear this and think, well, I'm not an English teacher, and certainly not teaching or being a teacher. But what you're doing, first of all, is building the confidence. So like I said, when I first met with the girl who inspired the idea for Engine, she literally froze up. You know, she said hi, and then it's not that she didn't understand me. It's not that she didn't have the skills. It's not even that she was making mistakes. It was that she was scared to speak and she couldn't find the words. So just by creating that safe space where they're meeting with you every week and they get comfortable with you and this friendship develops, my own student, I've been working with a student in Lviv who's also a nonprofit founder. And so we've had a lot to talk about. But she told me that when we started meeting, she was afraid of our sessions. Like she would dread them because she's like, how am I going to speak for a whole hour in English, right? And then over some months, it turned to actually looking forward to like, oh, what am I going to tell Katarina about my week and you know what's been going on with my life? So just by having those conversations, we're building their confidence. And that is a huge part of it, letting them actually practice using these skills. So then when they're in a different setting with someone else, right, that's not the first time they've ever spoken in English out loud with a foreigner. And then the other key part is helping them improve their skills. Like you said, the error correction is something that we can all do very naturally. We hear it, like you mentioned, I think it's a great example with the girl who does your nails. You hear these mistakes, and this is a context where you are able to help them provide that feedback. And we explain exactly how to do it, but it's, you know, it could be a matter of just writing it down and sharing it after or stopping the conversation and saying it. So yes, it's helping them with that. And sometimes they'll say things like, you know, here's an idiom that I came across and I don't understand. And of course you'll know it because you speak English fluently. So you explain to them. Right. Sometimes they say, well, I want to learn new idioms because we do have such a interesting, you know, idioms or slang is something that they're interested in. Or they'll say, well, I really want to learn some new vocabulary words and you practice those and in conversation. So it's very simple things that are sort of built right into speaking back and forth about what's going on in your lives. And then we also provide a ton of materials. So you never run out of things to talk about. We have a lot of session plans on every possible topic that have, you can watch a 5-minute video together and discuss it, or they have discussion questions that are open-ended and going to get you to think. We have things at different levels. So if you're working with like someone who's more of a beginner or more advanced, obviously that's going to look differently, but it's really very natural and authentic learning through conversation.
Excellent. So for those who are not as educated, and I have to admit, idiom, can you just explain what an idiom is?
Yeah, sure. It's just,
I have an idea. I'm pretty sure I know, but I'm not an education major. So like,
no, absolutely. Like, you know, it's just sayings like,
is it like
it's raining hot dogs, you know?
Okay. That's what I thought.
Something like that. We just have, and then there's actually our volunteers. We have a volunteer chat on Facebook and they're always sharing, you know, a list of like, you know, like 50 of the weirdest English sayings. And then what they'll do with their students sometimes is they'll pick a couple every week and talk about them. And then sometimes Ukrainians will share their sayings. And it's interesting to see which ones are similar, you know, things like, you know, a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush, like these kinds of things. And yeah, so it's not something that is particularly popular because I feel like people really bond and laugh about it because some of our sayings are just so, you know, like hard to explain. And they do sound very funny to someone who hasn't grown up speaking that way. And then there's some pretty funny ones in Ukrainian as well that our students like to share. So again, it's sort of the back and forth. And it's fun because you get to share your knowledge. You get to share the skill, which, you know, you don't even think about. Like, we actually have a lot of volunteers who, you know, they don't have, we have a lot of volunteers who are like 14-year-old and 13-year-old kids, right? So they don't have huge academic or professional skills, but they have a big gift to give because English fluency is actually a really, really valuable skill. And they don't even think of themselves as like, you know, tutors or teachers or people who have something to offer. And, you know, I talked about building confidence for our Ukrainians, but on the flip side, for some of our volunteers who haven't been in that situation before, you know, some of them are very accomplished professionally, and so they've been mentors or they've had people come to them for advice. But a lot of them have really not done that because, you know, maybe they're quite young, or maybe they followed a different like path and they never went to college. We have volunteers that have never really traveled out of their home state. And this is a way for them to connect internationally. And so, so they discover a lot, but also they gain the confidence saying, well, I have something really valuable. And talking to me is something that my conversation partner in Ukraine actually values a lot. So that's really cool, right? They have this gift that they can give, and it, again, it helps both sides when we just connect people and let them talk and let them share those skills and that experience.
Okay. One last question. When you're pairing people up, do you have, say, for example, somebody in, you know, a college student in Ukraine who's studying, finance, let me just say, and you have a volunteer who's in finance, do you pair people up like that so they're actually speaking the same language, air quotes, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Industry related, like type language kind of thing? Is that part of it?
Yeah, we really try to have some interests in common. It could be their professional background. We often do that, especially when we have our older students who already have a certain path that they've chosen. It could also be interests, right? So if someone's really into sports or film or right. or whatnot, it could be sort of a personality match where we do interview everyone like I mentioned before, and we have them fill out an application. So we really try to get to know each person, and so we're looking for some hooks, some reason that we're going to connect two people so that they have already a common foundation to start with, and it works really well. I think like the most frequent compliment I get is about the quality of the matching. People say, like, how did you even know? Like, how did you even find my person? And that's really rewarding to be able to make those matches. And yeah, I think it definitely helps them speak the same language a little bit. But you know, I have to say they're not going to be very, very similar on all aspects, right? So there's going to be a couple points of connection, and then the rest of it, you're sort of learning and finding out about someone who has a different experience and different background. And that's very cool as well. And I think people actually surprised by how someone who might sound very different. So let's say actually professionally, they come from a different background, but then I don't know, they're both foodies. And so they start talking about foods and sharing recipes and cooking together. So there's always going to be, you know, a couple of those points of connection. And that's something that really helps their relationships work.
You know, what I love the most about this, Katerina, is that right now we're in, especially in the United States, loneliness is becoming an epidemic. And it all stems from COVID. We know that, you know, we know that this is kind of almost a long haul COVID symptom is loneliness because we were so isolated. And I love that this is a way for people to get that connection that we, you know, as humans, we need connection. We need connection. So for anybody out there who is, you know, feeling like they need connection and maybe don't want to talk about it with other people, like this is a way, volunteer. I mean, this is an incredible organization. And I can almost guarantee that because I understand what you're doing, the volunteers are probably getting more out of it than the students that they're connecting with, because it's going to be so fulfilling for them. So if you want something, if you want to feel really good and just, you know, have 1 hour a week, people, 1 hour a week is all it takes. Hour a week. That's incredible. I love what you're doing, Katerina.
Thank you so much, Sandy. I really appreciate the chance to share my story. And I think you've nailed it with, you know, sometimes volunteers do benefit more. I hear that from people say almost guiltily, like, I think I'm getting more out of this than my student is, and say, you know what, you're both getting a lot out of it. And that's the magic of it. So thank you so much for sharing Engine with your audience. I hope to see some of y'all as volunteers on any time, because this program, it's open. I want to make it as accessible as possible. So one thing about us is like, we're open 365 days a year. There's no deadlines or limits. We sort of invite everyone to come if someone has an hour a week and they speak English fluently. They don't have to be a native speaker. We have a lot of people who learned English and they're actually really great volunteers because they've been there, right? They've gone through it. I'm not a native speaker. And so it's something that I can sort of relate to the language learning journey. Would really love to welcome some more new volunteers. We have a bunch of students, mostly adult students at this point, but we work with teenagers as well. So we have volunteers of all ages from 13 to 89. Actually, it's a really great range.
When you were talking about that, what came up for me was, you know, those bumper stickers about rescuing a dog, who rescued who.
Oh, yeah. That's
right.
It's like that.
Yeah. I mean, this could really, really change someone's life here in the United States by just getting out of your comfort zone and not making it about you and really helping somebody else and doing some service work, because there's nothing like service work.
Absolutely. You
know? Yeah, I love it. All right. Donations. I'm sure you're looking for donations. How does that look for you? Do you guys get grants or do you rely on donations from listeners of this podcast and other shows that you're on?
Yes, absolutely. We do not really get grants. We are not, because what we do is so niche, it doesn't really fit into any boxes. So one thing about creating an innovative program that's never been done before, the challenge is that there's not necessarily existing funding streams. So we're very lucky to have thousands of individual supporters, many of them who are volunteers or past volunteers or people who don't have the time to volunteer right now and are able to support financially. And we are very grassroots and community supported. So be very grateful for financial support as well. Our website, where you can find information about volunteering or donating or just spreading the word if you know others that you think might be interested in this. It's all on there, engineprogram.org, and that's E-N-G-I-N. program.org. So I do encourage everyone to check it out and learn more about us.
Absolutely. And folks, the website will be in the show notes. So if you're driving, just check it when you park and you can see the correct spelling, and the link will be in the show notes. So people can just click on it and go to your site directly. All right, Katarina, thank you so much. I love what you're doing. This is incredible. And when we're done recording, I'm going to introduce you to a couple of people that I think could really help as well. So
wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
Absolutely. And for all the listeners, thank you for listening today. And I hope that you and your family are happy and healthy and that your lives are filled with peace, joy, and lots of connection. Take care, everyone. I certainly hope that you enjoyed today's interview. Thank you so much for joining me. And as always, I hope that you and your family are healthy and safe, and that your lives are filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Take care, everyone.